Sunday, September 25th, 2011. It's Packer Week.
It's the best blog weekend show. Hop on board, we'll take you where you want to go. We're heading out to Lakeshore Drive. Football makes us feel so alive.
Oh, yeah. Drinking again, it's always the same, that same old story.
No. We learned this lesson a year ago. We went through this a year ago. We came out of it a year ago. And all of those Bears fans and all of the Bears media and everybody out there who wants to make this a doomsday scenario, I point you back to 1 year ago. No, the Bears will come out of this. They just have to be smarter. Smarter as coaches. Smarter as players, smarter as an organization. They just can't afford to go into ball games and allow themselves to be outmaneuvered the way they were Sunday. You've got to be prepared. The NFL, the work of an NFL coach is done during the week. It's not a baseball manager or a soccer manager who's using tactics and trying to move through a game plan on game day. You've got to do your work during the week. You've got to know when Devery Henderson lines up in the slot, it's in order to get him into the seam and try to split the safeties. You've got to know that Greg Williams is going to bring more guys than you have lined up to block, and you have to be prepared to block them. You've got to have these things figured out. They're not talented enough. They are not talented enough, specifically on the offensive side of the ball, to be able to compensate for a complete lack of coaching. You've got the tailback. He is a horse of a running back. He's got to get 20 carries every Sunday, or you're wasting him. I love his role in the passing game, but that can't be your passing game. And you can't be in a scenario where without Roy Williams and without Earl Bennett, you are terribly incapable of throwing the ball. Those are two mediocre talents. You can't be rendered castrated in the passing game because they can't play. I'm usually done by the end of the song. I'm just not done yet. All the people who are getting on this team, I think it's a fair thing to get on them for how they played Sunday. Don't throw in the towel in the season. But this is a big game for them Sunday for a lot of reasons because this season can go in the opposite direction. This season can take a plunge if they allow what happened on Sunday to happen this week. If they allow him to get sacked six times. And that was not players getting outplayed by other players. They allowed that to happen as an organization to him. And if you don't value him as a franchise quarterback, then trade him. But don't put him back there and let him get sacrificed. Because that, my friends, is ridiculous.
Picking and we're picking and we're picking all night, gonna. Hey, picking and we're picking all night, gonna. Picking, picking, and we're picking all night, and we're gonna pick it, gonna pick it all night, gonna pick it all night, gonna pick it all night, all right. We're gonna make the picks, so John, Jeff, and Chris gonna make the picks. Sometimes the boy's going 3-0, sometimes the boy's going to dose and no. Most of the time we'll be mediocre.
Still the champion, even after a 1-2 for myself and Chris, a 2-0-1 for John. Champions, though, act like champions, and they rebound. We'll be right back. First thing I'm looking at here, and I'm going to go with the Carolina Panthers at home, giving 3.5 points to the Jaguars. I could be totally wrong on this, but you're going to start Blaine Gabbert for the first time. That's going to send a message to the Jacksonville team that they are throwing this season away. It is a ridiculous maneuver by the Jags. The Jags have a division there that they could take. They could win that division if they had David Garrard playing at even half of what he used to play at. But that putting Gabbert in there now, week three, that sends a message to your team that you are winning nothing. Cam Newton is the star of 2011 so far. I think it's going to be easy for them. They should have won one of these first two games. They've played better than their record. I'll take the Panthers -3.5. I got to take this line because I've been on them. I picked them to go to the playoffs. I've been big on this team. The Bills at home, 8.5 points getting from the Pats. Pats are the best team in football right now over 2 weeks. But what I like about this point spread is that it's 8.5 points. The Bills can throw it on anybody, and the Pats secondary is dreadful. Even if they're up 2 scores late, I think the Bills get back into this in some way. 30-22, you win. 31-24, you win. Take the 8.5 points. Take the Bills. My last pick is a tricky one, but I'm going to take it until I'm proven wrong on this. And I'm going to take the Steelers -10 in Indianapolis. If the Indianapolis Colts get essentially manhandled at home by the Cleveland Browns, what are the Steelers going to do to this team? And just how bad are the Indianapolis Colts? Is this team incapable of winning a single game without Peyton Manning? If so, how are we not holding Ursay and Poli into the fire here? What kind of a roster have they put together in Indianapolis if they're not capable of beating the Browns at home? You know, that Peyton Manning injury, I get it. He's the greatest maybe regular season quarterback we've ever seen. But are they really incapable of winning any games? It certainly seems that way. Steelers -10, Panthers -3.5, Bills +8.5. Eat them with your milk. Chris's picks, they're going to stink.
Well, it's week three of the NFL season. I went 1-2 last week, took a small step back. Pick number one. Well, I found my Buffalo Bills of 2011. Ladies and gentlemen, meet the Kansas City Chiefs. They suck. They can't score on anybody. They can't stop anybody. This is going to be the third week in a row that someone's going to put a 40 spot up against them. They're going to be lucky to score 10. Take the Chargers -14.5 this week. Hell, take anybody playing the Chiefs with any points, and you got yourself a winner. Pick number two. Going back to that Panthers team. I didn't pick them last week. I didn't think they'd be able to do anything against the Packers. But I like them this year against the Jags, and the Jags are only this close to being the Kansas City Chiefs. Take the Panthers -3.5. Game three, take the Jets -3. The Raiders have no passing game whatsoever. They're wide receivers. They're not going to be able to get off of Revis Island or Cromartie Island for that matter.
Editor's note, on Cromartie Island, there is one man, 8 women, and 743 children.
And the Jets are going to stack the box and stop their running game. I think it's as simple as that, and the Raiders' defense just isn't all that good. Take the Jets -3. So there you have it for week three. Jets -3, Panthers -3.5, Chargers -14.5 versus the Chiefs. Take it to the bank.
That sound effect is called Brontosaurus Whale. How the hell does the Mac know what a brontosaurus whale sounded like? John's picks.
Okay, it's week three in the NFL, and I'm not going to give any elaboration, just going to give you my picks. Game one, I like the 49ers getting 2.5 points from the Cincinnati Bengals. Game two, I like the Denver Broncos getting 7 from the Tennessee Titans. And game three, I like the Panthers giving 3.5 to the Jags.
So there you have it, the picks for week three in the NFL. I take the Panthers, Steelers, Bills. Chris takes the Panthers, Jets, Chargers. John takes the Panthers, Broncos, and 49ers. Remember, you cannot duplicate any of those picks. You need a perfect three. Backyardbirdhouse.com, fisheyevertigo.com. News of the weird! Guess which Packers quarterback was spotted at a downtown Sheboygan homosexual brothel this week? I got a hint. His name rhymes with Aaron Rodgers. The last time I got a BJ Raji from a woman, I needed a shot of penicillin. My favorite wrestling move? You guessed it, the Jordy Nelson. The Riverin's rant often contains foul language and is not suitable for children. Or Tribune columnist David Haw.
So, I had to actually perform a wedding this Sunday, and that occupied most of my day. But, having not fully missed a Bears game in years, I did manage to find a few minutes between rehearsal and the sacred act itself to duck into a local sports bar and watch the third and first half of the fourth quarter. And holy shit did I take the Lord's name in vain! My God is a fucking vengeful God, and he works in mysterious fucking ways. And those ways apparently involve Lovey and March being the fucking two horsemen of the apocalypse. Why the fuck else would Martz call fucking 11 runs to 40 million passes? Why the fuck else would Lovey let him? Seriously, how the fuck do you not step in and tell Martz to call a goddamn run play? You're the head coach, right? You have the Maginot line out there. How do you let those 7-strip drops keep happening when your franchise QB is getting beaten like the chosen people in the land of Pharaoh? Fuck religion. Lovey is the fucking Bernie Lomax of head coaches. I want someone to put a fucking Calypso music next to him and see if we can get a Weekend at Bernie's 2 dance. At least then he provides some goddamn entertainment value while we wait for Jay to pull himself off the fucking turf. So fuck Jeff and his bitching about the burden of listening to the inherent negativity of those supposedly pulling for the Bears. Sure, there's plenty of people who like to trash the team, and I'm sure there's a number of writers who take sadistic pleasure in the Bears' failures. And I'm looking at you, Steve Rosenblum, you piece of fucking shit. But most people just understandably pissed after watching the Meadowlands 2 Electric Boogaloo. Yeah, we kept it close in the third. Yeah, the Saints are a good team with 10 days to prepare, and yeah, this game is not dooming the season. But it was still repeated the exact same goddamn mistakes we made last year, and they were completely avoidable. And if that doesn't piss you off, then you're more lifeless than Cutler will be. And I'll tell you, another game or two like that, and even Jesus Christ himself won't be able to resurrect him. Fuck, Lovey, we shouldn't have to be goddamn telling you this shit again.
That's the show for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you give your picks below. Thanks, as always, to Fisheye Vertigo and BackyardBird.com for coming on board. We're going to bring on some more sponsors as we move through the season. Enjoy the game Sunday, and if you enjoy the game with alcohol, do me a favor and don't drive a car because you can murder human beings with it. See you later.
It's the Bears Blog Weekend Show. Huh?